let's get into the Word today, because that really is first and foremost in our lives. Without the Word of God, why are we gathered together? It's great to sing songs that talk about who God is. It's great to declare His goodness. It's great to pray for one another, intercede for one another, and have fellowship with one another. But how many know if the preaching of the Word doesn't take place, then we're at a loss, right? Because this is really where God gets to speak to us and challenge our lives. So what we have been talking about this whole year, especially in these last two or three months, as we've been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church, we've been looking at the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest His presence in this place today. And I pray that some of you have felt that. You know, we try not to be manipulative. We try not to make a feeling arise in people's hearts, because you know you can do that. And politicians are good at it, and some of them, and some of them aren't. And pastors are good at it, and, you know, make a person feel a certain way, bring the tears on, do those types of things. We try not to do that here. And my whole goal in speaking the Word of God is simply not to manipulate you, but to allow the Word of God to do what He wills to do in your life. And so the Holy Spirit wants to manifest His presence in this place today. God wants to show Himself strong in every one of our lives. When people visit us, and we have some visitors today. Welcome today, those of you that are visiting with us. I see some new faces. And I'll tell you in the back, and I'll tell you this. I tell any new time visitor, come and give us 3 weeks. 3 weeks in a row if you can. I know schedules are, but if you give us 3 weeks, you get to see who we really are. You get to see what we're really about, because every service takes a little different flavor and a little different look compared to what the Holy Spirit's doing that week in this place. So just want to invite you to do that and welcome you today, and I'll see you in the back, I hope, when the service ends here. But God wants to show Himself strong in every one of our lives and in our church services every time we gather. He wants to show Himself strong in this place. He wants to prove to those that have a doubt in their heart that He is who He said He is, and that He still does the things that He says He does. And I think the problem is people get so focused on the news and on the things that are happening that we wonder, well, how could God be involved? How could there be a loving God in that? How could God be involved in that? We need to understand. I'll answer that question for you. We're living in a broken world. This isn't the world that God created it to be. There would be no murder. There would be no death. There would be no babies dying, no older people dying. There would be none of the things that we know had Adam and Eve and mankind not been plunged into sinful living. Because we were made to live eternally on this earth. And this earth was supposed to take care of itself when, you know, man wasn't made to work. Man wasn't made to know those types of things. We were made to live off of what God had created us to be. But sin came in and it broke the world. The Bible says that mankind began to die and began to know sin. But it also says that the world, creation, was thrown into a curse. It was cursed. And the Bible says that creation today is still waiting for the people of God to be seen as the children of God, so that I'm way off my notes, but I'm speaking to somebody today, so that it could come back to what it was meant to be. So I don't believe the trees were ever made to lose their leaves. How many like that when you rake your yard, right? I believe that they weren't made to do that. This is part of the curse. Now those trees will go into a slumber. They won't be as beautiful as they were intended to be, because the world is cursed because of sin and because of the pride and arrogance of mankind. But some glorious day, amen, there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. And we will get to experience that and praise God for that. So why do babies die? Why do parents bury children and children bury parents and all of these sad things of life? That happens because we're living in a broken world. It's affected by the curse. And so when it's affected by the curse, what happens is it can't come to fulfillment. And there's a reason why God had to curse it. And I don't have time to go into that today. If you need that answer today, see me afterwards. I will gladly share that with you. But there's a reason why that had to happen. And so God doesn't want the church to think that they're, I know what I said. I'm scatterbrained sometimes, folks. So if you're visiting with us, sometimes I got so much to say in my brain. I'm ADHD. So if your kid deals with that, you know what I deal with when I'm speaking a message. And so I was saying that. I was saying that God, I know what it was. That people don't believe that God can do some of the things or that God's as active because of the things we see in our news and we see happening around us. And so how could a loving God be involved in that? And again, He's not. It's not His will for us. But unfortunately, He's allowed man, because of free will and free choice, to go and do what they will to do, hoping that many will receive His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and bring us back to the way of life that He intended for us to live. That's where I was going with that. He doesn't want the church to think that we are weak and defeated. There are a lot of people meeting in churches today, and the people in the church are thinking, what can we do about this? We don't have anything to give. We're not what God has called us to be. And as a matter of fact, God has spoken the very opposite over his church. In Mark 16, 15 to 17, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Listen to this. This is the church. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And so God says, I'm giving the church power. Now, unfortunately, for some denominations, they end their Bible there. Did you know that some Bibles have been rewritten? They're not the Word of God for the way God gave it to us. I believe in the New King James Version. I believe in the King James Version. But that's so hard to understand that I use the New King James Version, which is a transliteration, which means we should have everything that we need when this was translated. OSL Level 3, if you want to know how we kept the Bible, how the Bible was processed through the ages, and how we know that it doesn't have errors in it. But some complete denominations have taken verse 18 out. So if you're looking at your Bible right now over in this chapter that we're in, and you're saying, wait a minute, I don't see a verse 18. All I see is what you read. It's because they took it out, because they didn't believe this. But let me read what 18 says, because it goes further. Chapter 16, verse 18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. How many know I want that in my Bible? I want to believe that this is the work of the church, and that the church has the power to do these things, because Jesus is showing the church that they have the power to do these things. And then he reminds us that these things only happen because of his presence in us. It is nothing that we can accomplish by ourselves. There's no pastor patting himself on the back up here. There's no denomination, we are four square. There's no denomination saying, hey, look at us, look what we can do. No, we are totally reliant upon the Holy Spirit today for anything good to happen in this place. A matter of fact, you know, if you said, hey, pastor, that what you did was good. Hey, pastor, that message was good. You know what I usually say to you. Hey, if anything good came out of this flesh, man, it's God. Amen? Let's just be honest here. There's no perfect man behind this. It's transparent. I can't hide. You know what I'm saying? And then he reminds us that these things only happen because of his presence. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said unto me, unto the prophet, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. See, it's not by our might. It's not by our power. So anything good that we expect to happen in this church today, anything good, we prayed for people, we sang songs of the faith, and we're delivering, and we're believing for people's God to move in people's lives. If any of that happens, it's not by our power. It's not by our manipulation or us making it happen. It's simply because God showed up today like he said he would. It's his power. And that is what we've been taking the last couple of months to look at if you've not been with us. All these messages are online. The power of his spirit in our church and the power of his spirit in our lives. We've been calling them spiritual gifts because that's what Paul calls them here in the New Testament. Spiritual gifts. Now we have five. I'm not going to spend any time on them. I don't have time today. We have five that are given as ministers, as leaders to the church. You know them. Apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and prophets. Messages are all online about them. Okay, go back and find them if you need to know about those. Call me, email me, I'll help you out. What these five ministries do is they minister to the church so that everyone in the church who is under their ministry is raised up in belief and in faith and in power to go out and do their ministry. So we all think the pastor is called to do all the ministry. No, the pastor is here to feed the sheep. I'm the under-shepherd. I'm under Jesus. He's in charge of this church. He's the pastor of the church. I under-pastor under him so that I can speak his word to you, challenge you. Hopefully you'll see that it's true, get you to believe that it's true, and then walk out of here and do what he has called you to do because he's called you to change your world. Amen? And so these fivefold ministries raise up people in the church to send them out. They minister in the world. They minister in the places where they do life. Then we have nine different manifestation gifts that the Holy Spirit moves in through the church. And this is where we've been for the last few weeks. And we see these over in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Let's talk about these. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles. In other words, you were sinners. You weren't following Jesus Christ. You weren't living for God. You were carried away by these dumb idols, these fake gods that you were worshiping. However you were led, he says. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Here we go. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, these are the nine, through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, you are going to have to go back and hear those messages on all of these gifts. We're going to look at the last two today. So we have the power gifts. These are the gifts that do something. We have faith, the working of miracles, and healing. They're all online. We have the revelation gifts. These are the gifts that reveal something. This is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. If you want to know how they work in the church today, go back and listen to the messages. And then we have the utterance gifts. They say something. We have prophecy. We talked about that. And then the last two we're going to look at today. And I got to tell you, when I saw visitors come in, the first thing I thought was, oh God, I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues. And now the visitors come in. And now, you know, listen, if you're visiting with us today, please listen to what I'm saying. And don't get lost on us. I don't mean that you're not going to understand. I'm going to give you understanding. I don't want you to think something that you've heard and find out that it's something. I want you to find out that it's something different than what the world says about it. Because when you talk about speaking in tongues, people get all weirded out. I want you to know it's not a weirded thing. It's something that God gave to the church for a very good reason, and I'm going to share it with you today. And I believe that it's still in the church today. So let's talk about these last two, speaking in tongues and interpreting of tongues. And I saved both of these for last because there's great confusion on these two. Now, I'm not going to speak about the confusion of whether they're for the church today or not. I believe that they are. I'll just give you this example. The reason why most people say that these gifts aren't in the church today is because they go back to 1 Corinthians 13, which we call the love chapter. If you've been to my weddings, you've heard me read it in weddings. But in that, Paul says that when things come, when the fullness of time comes, these gifts will not be needed anymore. And so many people said, well, these gifts were needed by the church fathers because they were setting up the canon of the scriptures. And so they needed the gifts of the Spirit to be able to know what books would go in the Bible, what books shouldn't be in the Bible. Rightfully so. But I want you to know it didn't end with that. And so many churches will say, well, that ended then because we don't need it anymore. No, no, no. The fullness of time has not come. Amen. The fullness of time will come when you and I are in heaven. And then we will not need these gifts anymore because we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit all the time. We'll be in His presence 24 hours a day. There won't be days. There won't be nights. I mean, it's eternal. It's what we were created for. We're finally going to get to live in what we were created for. And so we need to understand this. This is where the confusion are. So I'm not going to speak about the confusion of whether they're for the church today because it's ridiculous. They are for the church today. And if we go to 1 Corinthians 14, we see that Paul's still speaking about them and giving order to them. Why would Paul do that if he said, well, they don't exist anymore? Right? Before that. So we can get into that another service, another message. You're not going to get into it today. If the rest of these gifts are still for the church today, then I want you to know that these two are still for the church today as well. Pastor Ken, do you speak in tongues? I most certainly do. Show me. No, it's not for that. It's for my personal time with Jesus Christ. It's my prayer language. I'm not going to make a mockery of it. Amen? I'm not going to do that. But I want you to know I do believe that it is for the church today. So the confusion that I'm referring to today is the confusion between speaking in tongues as a prayer language and speaking in tongues that Paul is talking about here in the corporate service. Most people don't realize that there's two different manifestations. And so there's great confusion. Many people in church, outside the church, hear the term speaking in tongues, and they don't realize that there are two different manifestations of this gift. So let me go through it a little bit, and I'm going to hopefully bring understanding to some areas where you've got some confusion yourself. Okay, we know in Acts chapter 2, we see the promised Holy Spirit fall upon the church. Jesus said to his disciples, don't go anywhere. You've got a great story, but don't go with just a story. Go with the power. Go with the power to heal. Go with the power to open blind eyes. Go with the power to make limbs grow. Go with the power to raise the dead, because then you can tell the story and people will know it's true. If you just go and tell a story, it might become a fable. So I'm going to give you the power to tell a story. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Here's the promise fulfilled. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, little cloven tongues, like you see a fire from a pit lap up when you have a fire pit. It was those little tongues that were upon their heads. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Just the Holy Spirit showing that he had cleansed them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the promise of Jesus. This was the promise fulfilled of Jesus empowering the church to do the work that he was leaving to do, that he had already started, but he was now leaving to the right hand of the Father and needed the church to do. We see this. I don't have time to go into the scriptures. We see this promise both in John 14 and we see it in Mark 16. This, he promises them the Comforter would come. The Holy Spirit would be our Comforter. He promises that he would lead them. The Holy Spirit would lead them and guide them in the way that they needed to go. He promised that the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance the things that Jesus had taught. And he promises that the Holy Spirit would endue them with power to go out and minister. Again, that's John 14 and Mark 16. Much like these gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about today, these are the result of Jesus' promise to empower the church, these nine gifts. When the Holy Spirit was given, the people spoke with other tongues. And we see that same sign. If you look at that, if you go through your Bible and you go through your concordance or you go online and you look up all the scriptures about people being filled with the Spirit in the scriptures, you will always see that not only were they filled with the Spirit, but that they spoke with other tongues. And we see that same sign wherever God moved in the midst of his people. Now, let me set this next account up before we go to the scriptures. Peter is going to the town of Joppa. He's staying with Simon the Tanner. He goes into his house, and Peter begins to go up on the roof to pray. Remember now, up to this point, the word of God could only go to the Jews because he was God's they were God's chosen people. And so Peter goes up to the roof to pray and has this same vision three times. Three times a sheet is let down from heaven, and on this sheet were pigs and all the other animals that the Jews were not allowed to eat. And God says to Peter all three times, Peter, eat. And Peter says, God, I know that these are against our people. These are against the law. I cannot eat these. And God says this three times to him, what I have called clean, do not call unclean. Now, the animals were a picture. Peter didn't understand what he was seeing. Why would God call something clean that had been unclean? Well, remember, the word of God can only go to the Jews. Peter's ministry is about to expand. And so while Peter's having this vision on the roof, towns over, there's a Roman centurion. His name is, I knew it. Do I have it written down? Was it? Oh, come on, Lord, help me. Okay, Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion, a Roman centurion, but he loves God. He's not living for God. He loves God. He knows that there's something to this God. So he's praying and worshiping God, and God says, Cornelius, send some men to Joppa, have them ask for a man named Peter, who's staying with Simon the Tanner. He's going to come to you and share a word for you that I have for you. He sends, now remember, the word of God can't go to a Roman, can't go to a Gentile, can't go to a dog, right? Okay, because any Jews looked at people like dogs if they weren't Jewish at that time. And so now he's supposed to tell Peter, a Jew, to come to his house and to speak the word. Well, Peter just had this picture of do not call unclean what I have made clean. So they send. Peter begins to understand, wait a minute, you want me to go to this town and to speak to a bunch of heathens about the word of God and to share the word of God? See, before that never happened. Any missionaries that went out from the Jews went out to Jews. This was a whole new opening of the Bible. Thank God for that, because I'm a Gentile. Amen. I'm not Roman, but I'm not Jewish. So thank God for Peter's ministry, because it opened up the world so that we could know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So Peter knows he has to go now. God's spoken to him, showed him a vision three times. He goes to Cornelius' house. He speaks the word of God. They all accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And let's read it. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, all right, that's the Jews, believed and were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. Those who came with Peter, those Jews who followed him, were like, wait a minute, how can the Holy Spirit be poured out upon uncircumcised heathens? This doesn't fit our theology. Thank God it didn't. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered. Well, I'm not going to go into Peter's answer. I just wanted you to see they spoke in tongues to magnify God. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Everybody say up arrow. Up arrow. Okay? Up arrow means the gift flows up. So this speaking in tongues that I'm talking about here is the prayer language that every believer can have. All you have to do is ask for it. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit and you will speak in tongues. You'll pray in tongues. It is a powerful gift to battle the enemy because it's the one language the enemy cannot understand, so he doesn't know what you're praying. It is God's Holy Spirit praying through us. But know this, the person praying or speaking in that tongue is totally in control. I can choose when to speak in tongues and not to. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's not involved in this. I could not have that language without the Holy Spirit. It's something that bubbles up within me. I can't describe it any more than this. I hope it makes sense. It bubbles up inside of me, but I control my tongue. I control my lips, and I speak it out as another language. Okay? I know some of you won't understand it. Just know that's the way it works. It's the impression of the Holy Spirit deep down in a person's spirit, and then that person moves their tongue and mouth and their vocal cords and speaks or prays in this language during their time with the Lord and in prayer. Arrow up. That's us ministering to God. Make sense? In 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts that we just talked about, Paul is speaking about a different manifestation of that gift. Let's go down two more chapters to chapter 14. Looking at verse 1. I know I got a lot of scripture. I'm going to bring it all together. Don't worry. But I want to show you biblically what God is doing here. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. You may remember when we talked about prophecy, I said prophecy is very much the same as speaking in tongues, but prophecy is done in the local language. So if I prophesy, I'm giving you the word of God in your language so that you understand it. So Paul's saying, I'd rather you prophesy than speak in tongues. Okay? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. Arrow up. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to the church, to the men, to the women. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He lifts up himself because it's a great feeling to be able to speak in that language and pray to God. But he who prophesies edifies the church because the church understands it. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for the one who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edifications. A lot said there. Let's break it down. Paul's still speaking about the gifts here. He tells us to desire them, but he says desire the gift of prophecy. Why? Because if you're speaking in tongues in the church service, people don't understand what you're doing. They don't understand what you're saying. They're lost. How many know that's not the atmosphere that God wants to move in? Okay? The arrow is pointing up when I pray in tongues, and it's bringing confusion to the gathering, because if I start speaking in my prayer language right in this church right now, all of you are going to say, what sense is that? I thought he was speaking his message. I thought he was going to bring a word to us. I don't know what he's saying. I mean, look at him. He's all happy about it, but it's not giving anything to me. The church isn't being edified. Arrow up doesn't edify the church. It's bringing confusion to the gatherings. This is what was happening, because when you speak in tongues, you edify only yourself. Everyone else is confused because they do not understand what you are saying. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to do it when you are alone. And so Paul says, choose to prophesy because then the people know what God is saying. They understand it in their local language. Look at verse 5. I want you all to speak in tongues. But when you are together, prophesy because I want you to edify the whole church, except when one interprets. This is the gift of tongues and interpretations of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the down arrow. This is God speaking to his people in a language that they don't understand. And how will they know and understand what he's saying unless there is an interpretation? And for that, we read on 1 Corinthians 14, 6 to 18. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? He's saying you won't understand me. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, how are we going to prepare for battle? We don't know. That's not the battle cry. So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. They're all important. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, but I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, but I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For if you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Okay, this is what I want to break down today. I think I can bring understanding. Lord, help me. The manifestation gift of speaking in tongues in the corporate church, the arrow down, God speaking to his people, must always be followed by the manifestation gift of interpretation. Paul makes that very clear. Remember, God is not an author of confusion. And so if somebody in here is manifested upon by the Holy Spirit and they speak a message to us in tongues, they're edified if that word is not interpreted. Once that word is interpreted, guess what? We are all edified. Because now we know what God is saying to us. And he gives a great example here. Take musical instruments. We all love music. We all love music, different genres of music, but we all love music. Why? Because it does something to soothe our spirits. It does something to speak something into our life. It does something to bring us to a memory or a place where we really enjoyed being, or, you know, and so we relate to it. But he says, if you go to a concert and all the proper instruments aren't playing the proper notes. I used to play trumpet. I remember going into middle school and learning how to be with the band. It was the first time I was with a band in middle school. And I got my music, and I took it home to practice, and it didn't sound nothing like the song. Why? Because the trumpets don't play the whole song. The flutes have to play a certain section. The trumpets have to play a certain section. The trombones have to play a certain section. The drums have to play a certain section. And everybody together, it sounds like that piece. Can I tell you, I was really surprised when we came to a few practices and I began to hear the song. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. But when I played it at home, I didn't know what I was playing, because I had to play a certain part. He says, if the proper instruments don't play the proper parts, it's going to sound like a catastrophe. Have you ever gone to some of those middle school concerts? Come on, parents, we've all sat through them, and we've all clapped at the end and said, woohoo! And then we went home and thought, oh my gosh. Come on, let's be honest. We're not putting our kids down. They're not professionals yet, right? This is what Paul says it sounds like when somebody just comes out speaking in tongues in church. That makes no sense. Huh, I wonder what God's trying to say. I want to make sure I'm where I need to be. Without interpretation, no one speaking in tongues, or the one speaking in tongues, is speaking to the air. Now, how much fun is it to be in church if somebody's just speaking to the air? What if I just went on a tangent today? Wow, man, I can't believe I forgot to write my checkbook out. And oh, man, I'm going to turn around. You guys are gone. Why? That's not what you came to church for. And so those are the examples that he gives to us. It makes no sense. There is no comprehension. Now look at verse 16, because this speaks of the visitors that are in the church. There's visitors today. Imagine if that happened today. 1 Corinthians 14:16-17. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, here you are blessing God in your prayer language. I mean, you're doing a good thing. How will he who occupies the place of the uninformed, in other words, that visitor that has come to the church, that don't know anybody here, how are they going to say amen? If you glorify God, how are they going to agree with you? Because they don't understand what you're saying. For you indeed give thanks well. It's a good thing. Man, you're giving a great message to God. But the other is not edified. You see, the church people may understand it a little better. They may let you slip by. But a visitor, they're never coming back. If they came to church expecting something and that something weird happens, they're never coming back. You see, I want you to see something. The Holy Spirit, whenever the Holy Spirit moved in the church, people were added to the church and not subtracted. Today, when the Holy Spirit moves, and I say that funny because I think a lot of moving in the churches is not the Holy Spirit. A lot of it's man-made. No, I'm not knocking the real Holy Spirit, because I know he still wants to move in the church. It's just all this confusion has led us to not allow that to happen so many times. But when the real Holy Spirit is moving in the church, you know what happened to the church? People were added. 5,000 in one day, 7,000 another day. What's happening? People came in and said, wow, that's for real. Something, I felt something. The atmosphere was charged with a spiritual electricity. I want to go back there. Okay, so the church may understand a little, but nobody else is coming back. And I hear that in the world today. Come on. Oh, holy rollers. You've heard that term. That's what they call the Pentecostals, holy rollers. And look at 1 Corinthians 14, 22 to 25. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed visitors or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Thank you, Paul. We need to hear that more today. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He's convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So, Paul says, I pray in my spiritual prayer language, and I encourage you to do that as well. But know that nobody, not even yourself, knows what you are saying when you do that. Yes, you're glorifying God. Yes, you're speaking spiritual mysteries. Yes, you're fighting spiritual battles over your family's life. But speaking in tongues in the church is God speaking to the church. It's not you speaking to God. So I want you to see there's an up arrow. That's our prayer language. And there's a down arrow. That's when somebody is manifested upon by the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. But there will always be an interpretation. Okay? Can that interpretation be the same person? Yes, I have seen that. It doesn't have to be. Again, remember 1 Corinthians 12, 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And so I believe, and I'm believing this for our church. I really am believing that God would begin to speak again in tongues and interpretations. I'm believing that it wouldn't be something foreign or something crazy to people. But that was, as they hear the word go out and the interpretation comes, people would say, wow, that was a mighty word for God. That was a mighty word from God for this church. That was a mighty word that God spoke. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to adapt my life to it because I believe that God was speaking to me. And then, as if this isn't important enough, Paul gives even further order to these manifestations because he understands how quickly, in this type of an atmosphere, things can escalate to madness. And so look down a little bit more at 1 Corinthians 14. I'm getting ready to close. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 28. Listen, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three in each turn, and let one interpret. If there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So the first idea that we need to remember when we're talking about any of these gifts, especially speaking in tongues and interpretation, is it should only be for edification for the church. If it does not edify the body, then it is not God. I can tell you that. It's the flesh. Now, in an atmosphere where sometimes we're a little more freer to experience some of these things, might the flesh not come into view? Sure it will, because we're all made of flesh. There's a constant battle in our lives. But I want you to know we need to allow the Spirit to win out, so that we don't bring confusion to the church, but we edify it. All these gifts are to glorify God in the midst of his people and to prove his power to the one who is foreign to God, to those visitors, to those that don't believe, to those that maybe don't, this is new to them. That when they come to our services, what they should feel is something that says God is real. Wow, God is moving amongst these people. I want to be back there. I may not understand it. It may not even be something I believe in, but I believe that God is moving there. And you know what? I want to be a part of that. Praise God. And I hope if you're visiting with us today, that that's stirring in your heart. Okay? So all these gifts are to glorify God. All these gifts are to edify the church. If speaking in tongues, there must be an interpretation. But look what Paul says. No more than three in a public meeting. Because that's crazy. I mean, why does somebody have to compete with somebody else? If God speaks, get it over with and then move on with what you're doing in the service. Give people a chance to respond to what God has spoken. Give people, because I'm going to tell you, if God speaks, and when God speaks, it's going to be something that's going to set our hearts on fire. How many knows God doesn't waste time? And so if he's going to speak to this church today, guess what he's going to do? He's going to make sure it's something that gets to the heart, that drives into where we are, and it's going to hit everybody differently maybe because of situations and circumstances that you're going through. But we're all going to walk out of here saying, wow, God spoke. I pray today that even this message you feel is God speaking to you. I pray that today because that's the way I prepared it, and that's what I put into prayer this week in getting it ready. So no more than three. Let's not make a mockery of it. Let's do it in order. Paul says there has to be order to this thing. I brought all that out to say this. Do you see how serious Paul is about this? If it's to God, then it's between you and God. Do it at home. If that's your tongues, if that's your prayer language, do it at home. Don't bring it out in church because it's not for the body. But if it's the arrow down, if it's God speaking to his people and he impresses you to speak a word in tongues to this congregation, then also pray and believe for the interpreter. Maybe you need to be the interpreter as well. Now, I have interpreted. A long time ago, I interpreted in a service. I don't know if it was here or where it was at. But I'll tell you this, man, that's a little nerve-wracking. Okay, because you're like, okay, God, I think you're moving upon me. I hear the message. I don't know those words. It's not like there was clarity in my mind about what that person was speaking. But then the Lord begins to put in my heart, this is what I want you to say. This is the English version of what I brought out in the Spirit. Okay, God. And then I would give that word. Now, it didn't sound anything like what that person had brought out. But you know what? It was received in the church. Why? Because it was the word that the church needed to hear. Amen? So if there's a message, there's an interpretation. So I encourage you today. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all, but I also understand the importance of bringing edification to the body if it's in the corporate gathering. And so I encourage you today in the words of Paul, speak in tongues. This is a gift that God has for each and every believer today to fight this system of world that we're in today that is so nasty and so dark and sucking the life out of us. Spend some time with God. Let the arrow go up. Lift your praise, lift your prayer. Speak in, pray in the spirit, but pray in the natural too. Don't just let one outdo the other. Does that make sense? Paul says that. If you do not have the arrow up gift for your own edification, then to magnify God in your glorious personal prayer time with him, ask him today to baptize you in the power of the Holy Spirit. He will give that gift to you for free. And as God begins to turn his Holy Spirit loose in this gathering of people, because we're believing for that, we're praying for that. This is why we've been teaching all of these lessons. Church, let's expect prophecies. And let's expect healings. And let's expect miracles. And let's expect words of knowledges and words of wisdom. And let's expect prophecies in this place. And let's expect words of, let's expect tongues and interpretations so that we would know what God is speaking to us, and so that we could be obedient to the things that God is saying. Amen? Is this stuff freaky? Did I scare you today? I pray I haven't. I pray that if you do come and you do attend with us, that you understand we're a very normal church. We're a small church, but we're a loving family. And we're experiencing this stuff. We're looking to experience this stuff as God continues to grow in our lives and as our lives continue to grow in him. Amen? So it's a great journey to be on with one another. I don't know what it's going to look like any given Sunday, but I know that if we leave God in control, guess what? We'll have the services on Sunday that God wants us to have. And he'll minister to us the way that he wants to minister to us. And every one of us will walk out of this place, not saying, oh, didn't Pastor do a good job? I don't need that. But saying, wow, God met me there. I felt something. I may not be able to put my hand on it, but it was genuine. I know that. And I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I want to go back. Because something stirred in my heart the day that I heard the word of God. The Bible says the word of God will not return void. I believe that for you here today, and I believe that for you that are joining us online today. Amen.